The sun is rising on this Tony Award special, ladies and gentlemen, the New York Sun, because we have the chief theater critic of that newspaper with us on the telephone. His name is Eric Grody. He's also the vice president of the New York Drama Critics Circle, a very esteemed organization. But even more importantly than that at the moment, he is the father of Jonathan Strickland Grody, who was born, when was that, Eric?
May 13th, same day as the Tony Award nominations were announced.
Same day as the... Well, one thing's a little more important than the other. But congratulations, Mazel Tov, on a healthy, happy child. Everything's good?
Everything's fantastic, thank you. Although I welcome an 8-minute break to talk about something else.
Exactly. You can put the diapers down, you can put the bottle down, and you can stop, you know, hearing the wife cursing at you for putting her in that position. Now you can just concentrate on theater. So Eric Grody... The categories you've chosen are featured actor people and actress people. We begin with featured actor in a play. And the nominees are, do you want to read them?
Sure.
Go for it.
Bobby Cannavale from Mauritius, Raul Esparza from The Homecoming, two actors from The Seafarer, the Conleth Hill and Jim Norton, and David Patu from Is He Dead?
Okay, now what are your thoughts on the performances and whom do you think will win?
Well, this is one of these sort of funny ones where most years the people who are in shows that are still running often have kind of a competitive advantage. People, they're fresher in people's minds. People have seen them more recently. All of these shows have closed, so that's all kind of a wash.
Hmm.
In terms of who I think has the best shot, Jim Norton was in the London production of The Seafarer and won the Olivier Award for that there. So that would seem to bode well for him, but I'm kind of thinking Raul Esparza, who's sort of a young up-and-comer. He works a lot, and a lot of people thought that he should have won last year for Company.
That was one of the
few sort of surprises last year, was that David Hyde Pierce won for Curtains over his performance as Bobby, which makes me think some people may, you know, in addition to the fact that he gave a very good performance in The Homecoming, people might be inclined to sort of play catch-up this year.
And even though The Homecoming closed, it ran a little longer and later than some of the other shows that are in contention here.
Correct.
So that doesn't hurt either.
He also has one of those things that, I guess technically it's a supporting performance, it's a pretty major role within The Homecoming. And so I think a lot of people just, he made a strong impression, in part because he was on stage a lot and had a pretty major role to play. I mean, there are several other actors in that show, like Michael McKean, who were just as strong and truly in supporting roles. But my hunch is that people are going to sort of remember Raul.
Now, who would you vote for in the category?
He was quite good. I kind of like the two Seafarer guys, either Jim Norton, who played the older, slightly flashier part, and then Conleth Hill, which was kind of a straight-up comedic role. But he found a lot of very interesting shadings in it that I thought really kind of worked to the advantage of the play.
They were both really, really funny, come to think of it. The first act was hilarious, and they were both terrific in it. So, I don't know, I'd split my vote there, even though I wasn't that crazy about the play.
Yeah.
But you would go with Norton or Hill, you said?
Honestly,
if you were voting.
I will be voting. I have my ballots due, and I'm going for Conleth Hill, I think, probably.
Okay. Oh, so but you're still a little bit on the fence. So
I'm still a little bit
Conleth,
on the fence.
Give him a call. He can be pushed. He can be nudged still. He's got the ballot in his hand. And since you've got the ballot in your hand, how about flipping to featured actress in a play?
Sure. The nominees here are Sinead Cusack for Rock and Roll, Mary McCormack, who plays one of the three air hostesses in Boeing Boeing, Laurie Metcalf from David Mamet's November, Martha Plimpton in Top Girls, and Rondi Reed in August Osage County.
Pretty good category. So...
Yeah, I mean, I've sort of narrowed this one down to five. I mean, I think all of them were very, very strong. And you can make arguments for... I don't know the order that the awards are going to be presented. I'm guessing they'll be... You know, these are often sort of early in the evening that these awards are given out.
Uh-huh.
I feel like this could be one of those ones that would really help... sort of be a bellwether for is this going to be a huge night for August Osage County, as many people suspect. If that's the case, then Rondi Reed might be the first or, you know, of a kind of a snowball's evening for that. Or the same thing could happen for Mary McCormack. I mean, Boeing Boeing got a bunch of nominations, and people really seem to be responding to just the kind of light, retro, frothy nature of it.
Mm-hmm. So it's still, yeah, that's kind of a tough one to call, although I think maybe Osage has... A little bit of an edge. It's the serious play. She's also on stage for 3.5 hours as opposed to 2.5 hours.
Correct.
Mary McCormack and Boeing Boeing.
However, I mean, if if November has a heart, Lori Metcalf really is it. I mean, she's a really flashy part. She has a horrible head cold the whole way through, and she's really sweet, and people love her in that. I mean, Tom Stoppard, maybe the best monologue he's ever written for a female character is for Sinead Cusack, and she really knocks it out of the park in Rock and Roll. And Martha Plimpton, I mean, if you count Coast of Utopia as three separate plays, she's done six Broadway shows in the last 2 years. She's
a little young for a career award, though.
Yeah, well, it's not quite a career award, but just sort of a, we're just happy to have you around, and we're happy to have Top Girls around, which I think...
Well, I'm not, but... Okay.
You're not? Yeah. I happen to really like this production, and I think there's a sort of vocal minority, possibly minority, that is sort of felt that it got slighted a bit in terms of nominations. She's the only nominee for the whole show. And maybe,
well, Elizabeth Marvel was marvelous. But she's great in everything. So, you know, it's kind of hard to single her out just for this particular show. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm sort of on the fence still between, I guess, Cusack, Metcalf, and Rondi Reed. Rondi Reed really does have a great part. I mean, it's less flashy than some of the, you know, than the mother-daughter kind of dynamic. She's the sort of blousy aunt.
And she's dislikable, which isn't helpful either, you know.
Right. But she has that big sort of moment. It's actually sort of her husband's moment near the end where he kind of tells her off. But then she has kind of a, if people haven't seen the show, I mean, she has kind of a boom that she lowers near the end. It's a kind of a great part. I really don't know. My guess is that either Rondi Reed or Lori Metcalf will win.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of who should,
Who you're going to vote for? You're still not 100% sure.
Like I said, I've kind of narrowed it down to five.
Okay, that's easy enough. Maybe by next week, after the Tonys are over, you'll have it down to four.
Hopefully.
Now, since we've still got that ballot, you can flip to the front page because we've got the two big categories to talk about quickly: Best Play of the Year and Best Musical. Play is August Osage County, Rock and Roll, The Seafarer, and 39 Steps. I'm sorry, Is He Dead isn't on here, but that's just me.
Yeah.
a little silence there. Okay.
Or Best New Player for one that was written 120, I don't know how many. I mean, like everyone, I would be floored if August Osage County didn't come out with this.
Right.
I think that's a no-brainer. I happen to think Rock and Roll is a pretty underrated play. I mean, Coast of Utopia, you know, swept everything last year. I think Rock and Roll is, when all said and done, a considerably more cohesive, disciplined piece than Utopia.
I totally agree, by the way, yeah.
But, I mean, it's August here, I'm reasonably sure.
And is that what you're going to vote for, or are you going to go with your... No, you agree with it, too. That
I love
everything.
The only thing that would have beaten it was something that this Scottish-Iraq war piece that played out in Brooklyn this year and didn't make it to Broadway.
Mm.
And the Tony Awards, as I'm sure you know, are
just
Broadway only.
Now, Best Musical, In the Heights, Crybaby, Passing Strange, and Xanadu.
For me, I mean, I wasn't crazy about Crybaby. I can knock that out.
Okay.
Right, and that feels to me like a sort of padded. Like I thought the other three were pretty automatic nominees. I sort of thought A Catered Affair was going to get that fourth spot, even though I wasn't particularly crazy about it. I think people respect it and even almost like it more than Crybaby, but I guess I'm wrong. Beyond that, my hunch is Xanadu's a little on the slight side for it.
Mm-hmm.
In the Heights and Passing Strange are, you know, both the kind of shows that, you know, in theory at least, Broadway could benefit from more of this sort of thing, in my opinion. In the Heights seems to be more of an audience favorite. Passing Strange seems to be more of a sort of a critical favorite.
Right.
The Drama Critics Circle, we gave our award to Passing Strange, and I think it also won the Drama Desk.
But do you think In the Heights might actually get the more broad vote from the Broadway community and therefore win the Tony?
Probably. And Broadway community also extends out to sort of the national. There's a block of voters who are, you know, touring regional houses. And I think In the Heights, where Passing Strange is so specifically geared toward Stu, the guy who wrote it and appears in literally the center of the stage, that I think In the Heights is a more viable sort of mainstream touring proposition, which always helps with these things.
Although when I did see Passing Strange again last week, there is an understudy listed for Stu.
Okay.
So sometimes when he's out, the show goes on. So
oh,
it isn't
right.
just him. So and also, if you're talking about touring things, one thing I guess people don't realize is that it can also tour to rock clubs. It can go. It can play the Hard Rock Cafe just
that's
as
true.
Easily as it can a Broadway type theater.
Yeah, there's no need. It would have to go to. Like, that's true. And I know shows like Hedwig and some of these other rock shows have sort of lived a sort of bifurcated life, you know, playing in theaters but also playing in unconventional spaces. So that's a really good point.
By being the operative term. But if you're, since you voted for the New York New York drama critic circle. Did you vote for Passing Strange?
I did, yes. I mean, there were a couple, again, there were a couple off-Broadway shows like Gone Missing and The Adding Machine that also I liked quite a bit. But of the Broadway lot, I enjoy In the Heights quite a bit, and I think Lin-Manuel Miranda is a real find. I think Broadway's going to be really happy to have him around for a while. But I Passing Strange would be my choice.
Eric Rohde, you are our choice for wonderful theater critic of this particular segment, the terrible category.
Aww.
But you're a very, very fine writer, and I do direct everybody to get the New York Sun, especially when Eric is doing one of his reviews. He gets the space to do it right, and he always does. So, Eric, I want to thank you so much for being part of the special.
Thank you so much for having me.